All right, I'll call the meeting to order. We have a lot of stuff on the agenda tonight, so I want to plow right into it. All three of the main things on here are going to be somewhat time-consuming. First thing that I want to mention is, and I did about 5 minutes ago for people who weren't here yet, if you're interested in going to the picnic next week, the county board picnic on Thursday, please see Arlene with cash or checks. We'd really like to get a little bit of that money to pay for buying the food and the refreshments and so forth. So talk to Arlene. All right, so less than one-fourth of the board, however, listens to me is kind of the other way of looking at that. $10. And it's catered by the same folks as last year. The Moose Lodge food was excellent. We heard lots of rave reviews about it. All right, next thing, MRRPC appointment, Mississippi River Regional Planning. Our person on this commission for the last several years has been Jim Ursham. His appointment expired, and the governor's office told me that they would like me to submit a new appointment. So I submitted his name, and they said, no, under the statutes, you have to submit us two names. And I said, well, that's the one name I want. And they said, we don't care. Send us another name. So anybody who's interested in serving on Mississippi River Regional Planning Commission, talk to me after the meeting, and we'll send your name in, too, and keep those folks happy. Item 1-7, Nursing Home Month. Mr. O.
Proclamation, July 2008, Nursing Home Month, whereas La Crosse County residents or members of their family are provided affordable, quality nursing care services in a family-like environment, including those whose care may be difficult or those without financial support, and whereas staff is committed to excellence in providing care and rehabilitation to all with respect for the dignity and rights of individuals, including those who have special physical, developmental, and mental health needs, and whereas La Crosse County operates two nursing homes, Hillview Health Care Center and Lakeview Health Care Center. Now, therefore, be it resolved, La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of July as La Crosse County Nursing Home Month and urges all residents to join in recognizing the valuable contribution of persons dedicated to ensuring quality care to our residents in need.
Moved by Roger Plesha, seconded by Tara Johnson. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Appointments. Tara Johnson, could you take the chair very briefly?
Chairman Doyle.
I have two of them. Dave Trapp to replace Al Thompson on Health and Human Services Board, and Bill Rickert to replace Marge something, Antonowitz, on the Transportation Coordinating Committee. So I'd ask for approval of those two.
Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carries unanimously.
Thank you. And the reason that we had the Health and Human Services one on is that he can actually start tomorrow then so that we don't have issues of quorum and so forth. All right. We have the 2007 audit report. If you've not gotten the book out of your locker next door, go do that right now. You're going to want to have that in front of you. There will not be a test on this tonight, so the fact that you are only seeing it just now, do not be concerned about that. They're going to go through it, and we're not actually taking any action on it until County Board Day, so you'll have plenty of time to look through it, and if you have questions, they can be asked at that point. So it would have been, what was it, Marion, to mail this out? How much? Yeah, $200, and we thought for $200 we'd let you get it out of your locker. So, Gary, let's turn it over to you for a second.
Sure. I just want to mention a couple things up front. This is La Crosse County's annual comprehensive financial report. Sharon Davidson in the Finance Department coordinates the preparation of this with assistance from others in the Finance Department. And with us tonight, in addition to Sharon, we have Renee Messing and Deborah Welch from Clifton Gunderson. And what Renee is going to do is pretty much give you a summary of their audit that they have spent several hours on. And I also want to mention that even though Sharon coordinates the preparation of this, We do receive a lot of advice throughout the year from both Deb and Renee. Clearly, we experience a lot of changes, evolve throughout time, so to speak, the new rules and new policies, and we always appreciate the guidance that we receive from Clifton Gunderson. So I'll turn it over to you, Renee.
Thank you. Just before the meeting this evening, I put on each of your desks a little copy of the PowerPoint presentation that's up on the screen. And again, going with the conservation theory, we've tried to keep it to just a few pages to hit the highlights of the full document. As you look at the entire document, it's really about 150 pages of information, so there's a lot of detail in it. And so my intention this evening is to provide sort of an overview of the document and the audit process, and then allow you to ask any questions that you may have. The 150-page document includes a number of components. The first part of it is the transmittal letter that's written by your management, and it covers pages 1 through 5. And it really talks about the local economy, the major initiatives of the county during the past year, and sort of gives a profile of the government. The next part, the management discussion and analysis, covers pages 19 to 31. And it really has some comparative financial information in it and a lot of narrative that gives you some of the background that go into the numbers. The financial statements and the auditor's report cover a lot of pages in the document. The auditor's report is on page 15 and 16. And the auditor's report is an unqualified opinion, or commonly referred to as a clean audit opinion. It says that your financial statements are presented fairly in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. That's what your bondholders and citizens and other interested parties are looking at when they look at that audit opinion. The financial statements themselves cover pages 35 through 81, and those are then followed by some supplemental information that includes budgetary presentations of the funds, as well as the statistical information. And this report has been, for the last several years, submitted to the Government Finance Officers Association for their award program, and we're pleased to be part of that process, working with the county in achieving that goal. On the second page of your handout is some information on the governmental funds. At the top part of the page are the major governmental funds, and the general fund is the primary operating fund of the county. It has revenues of about $30 million compared to expenses of $28 million. So its revenues were greater than expenses by $1.6 million for the year, and you have just shy of $28 million of fund balance at the end of the year. Now, that fund balance is partly reserved or designated for specific purposes, and it also includes undesignated fund balance of about $16.9 million. That undesignated fund balance, comparing to your policy says that you'll hold 40 to 50% of your operating budget for the general fund in fund balance. You're currently at about 55% of your 2008 budget. So you're in very strong financial position in your general fund compared to your policy. Your debt service fund has about $4 million of revenues and expenses, with the revenues being primarily property tax levy. You have fund balance in the debt service fund of $680,000, and that represents funds that are held for the Wisconsin Retirement System liability. The next major fund is your Human Services Fund. There, your revenues and expenses are about $27 million on an annual basis. You'll see there that your fund balance decreased by about $846,000 for the year. Most of that was planned decrease. Your budget process for 2007 planned to use up some of that fund balance. You have a balance at the end of the year of $7,023,000. All of the rest of your governmental funds are added together and grouped in your financial statements and identified as the non-major funds. They have revenues of about $11 million and expenses of about $11.2 million. So you'll see that they had a decrease in their overall balance of $441,000. The balance of $7.3 million at the end of the year represents a number of different funds, and those funds are all held for specific purposes. The primary funds that are within those non-major funds are your jail assessment fund at about $1,068,000, the old landfill fund at $3.8 million, and the health fund at $1,065,000. So those are the major components of those non-major funds. You'll see the total column has governmental fund balances of $43,069,000. So, again, combining all of those funds together, those represents the funds that are available and or committed for subsequent operations. In accordance with government accounting policies, you present your information on a fund basis, but you're also required to convert that information to a full accrual basis or a basis similar to business type reporting that you would see in any kind of a business operation. So to give you a little bit of a crosswalk to that secondary reporting, we start with the fund balance of $43 million from the total of the governmental funds. You have capital assets net of depreciation of about $31 million that are added. You have receivables and revolving loan funds of $2.8 million. You have additions for your internal service funds of $70 million, and that is primarily your highway operations, including the infrastructure, the roadways, bridges, and streets that you own. Those are offset by the liabilities that you have on a long-term basis of $24.8 million, including compensated absences and some other minor adjustments. So your net assets on a business-type reporting are $122.4 million. The next category of your fund reporting are your enterprise funds. Your enterprise funds include your health care centers, solid waste, the care management organization, and then some non-major funds. The health care centers, you'll see, had an increase in their net assets of $186,000, and they have net assets at the end of the year of $7.4 million. Hillview accounts for $4.8 million of that total, and Lakeview $2.6 million. When you look at that total net assets for the organizations, about $4 million represents the investment in the land, buildings, and equipment of the organizations, and the balance, about $2.8 million, represents cash, receivables, and payables of the organization, or the normal operating assets and liabilities. The solid waste operation had revenues greater than expenses of $2.9 million for the year and has a balance of just shy of $11 million at the end of December of 2007. The care management organization has revenues of about $50 million compared to expenses in 2007 of $47.8 million. It added to its net assets by $3.1 million, and it has $6 million as of the end of the year. Now, that balance of $6 million is almost entirely restricted by the state for either solvency or restricted assets related to the operation, so it doesn't represent funds that are available for any other purpose.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Mr. Geary has a question.
Yeah, back to those nursing homes. You said their net assets were 4.8 for Hillview. And are those depreciated numbers?
Yes, they are.
Because I knew we couldn't replace the buildings for those amounts, so we depreciate them.
The non-major funds in the enterprise fund category had revenues and expenses of about $1.8 million, and they have net assets at the end of the year of $3.5 million. Those non-major funds are primarily the Carroll Heights apartment buildings with $2.6 million of that balance, and the household hazardous materials operation with about $937,000. The last category of your financial reporting are your internal service funds. Within the internal service funds, you have two types of operations. You have your highway operation and your insurance operations. Your highway department had revenues of $9.5 million. compared to expenses of $9.6 million, or a decrease in its net assets of $150,000. It has a balance at the end of the year of $67.2 million. And when you look at the components of that balance, $63,574,000 is your investment in land, buildings, equipment, and infrastructure. So that again, is depreciated, and it represents the cost of those assets, or the estimated cost of those assets. The remaining balance is unrestricted of about $3.6 million, and that, again, represents the cash receivables and payables that are existing in the highway operation on an ongoing basis. The insurance funds account for your workers' compensation, health insurance, and liability insurance. And there you'll see you had an increase in the balance of about $300,000 for the year. You have just over $5 million as of the end of the year. And the bulk of that balance is in your health insurance fund with $3.5 million. Now, as part of the audit process, we issue two letters to you that are part of the audit process. The first of those is called the audit communication letter. And that letter talks about the auditor's responsibility under generally accepted auditing standards. And what our responsibility is as your auditors is to assess the risks within your organization, look at your systems of internal control, identify the controls that you have in place, and test those controls, and then test account balances. So as part of the audit process, we don't look at every single transaction of the county. We, again, assess the risk of where fraud or errors could occur, and we test those records accordingly. It's really management's responsibility for the underlying internal controls and financial reporting processes of the county. That letter talks about accounting practices, and it identifies that your accounting policies, your accounting estimates, and your disclosures are standard for governmental units. That makes your financial statements comparable to any other government within the United States. As part of our audit process, we did identify some audit adjustments, and those adjustments are outlined in brief form in the letter, and they're available in detail from management if you would like to take a look at them. But they are really things that are identified because of the timing of the audit process, and the books aren't fully closed yet at the point where we'd begin the audit process. Finally, that letter talks about representations from management and certain other matters. We ask your management to provide us with some representations that they've provided all of the accounting records. The letter identifies that there were no disagreements with management or discussions with respect to accounting principles with respect to our retention as your auditors. The other letter is commonly referred to as a management letter, and that letter identifies certain comments and recommendations for improvements within the county's internal control system or within its reconciliation process. The first of those recommendations is related to the financial closing process. And when you look at the county's financial statements, we just went through them in very brief form, but your financial accounting is a very complex reporting system. And as such, there are a lot of account reconciliations that occur. Many of those reconciliations occur at year end, and so it becomes a very time consuming process at the end of the year. What we've recommended is that you take a look at your process, perhaps realign some of the timing of the reconciliations to move them earlier in the year to ease the burden of that year end process. We also recognize that you have been looking at and making some changes in your financial reporting process. For example, the change that will occur with the CMO should relieve some of the accounting burden within the county, but the changes that you've made out at the Lakeview Health Center increase the complexity of the reporting out there. So it's really important to, on a continuous basis, monitor that financial reporting process both during the year and at year-end close. As part of our process of looking at compliance with the county's internal controls and its policies, we've identified a number of areas where there were instances of noncompliance. These are relatively minor instances of noncompliance with policies, but they are things that we bring to management's attention so that they can be addressed on an ongoing basis. Your capital asset reporting. Within the reporting for your governmental, government-wide statements, as well as in your enterprise funds and your highway department, you account for capital assets. And your capital assets are reported in a software program that is not integrated with the county's general ledger system. What we're suggesting here with respect to your capital assets is that you formalize some policies regarding the lives of capital assets and the monitoring to ensure that all capital assets are reported. This process has been improved in the last couple of years and is something that, again, on an ongoing basis is being looked at all the time, but it's generally something that's done only once a year. We've made a recommendation, or really just to let you know that there's a new accounting standard that comes into play for the county in 2008 related to accounting for post-employment benefits. Those benefits are, in your case, primarily a health insurance rate subsidy for your retirees. And so as a result of this new accounting policy, you will need to have an actuarial valuation performed in 2008, and some additional accounting requirements and reporting requirements will come into play as a result of those benefits. Lastly, as part of our audit process, we do various inquiries throughout the county and various levels of both management as well as employees within the county related to fraud awareness and internal controls. And one of the things that came to our attention is that the county board really doesn't have opportunity to meet with management on a regular basis to have training or awareness of the county's internal control policies and procedures or fraud or anti-fraud practices. And what we've recommended is that you consider on an annual basis having a session with management to talk about where your internal controls are, what the strengths of your control systems are, what management does to monitor those control systems on an ongoing basis. This could be done either as part of the budget process or an annual retreat meeting or one of these work and planning sessions. But we think it's really important that the board recognize that it has some fiduciary responsibility related to the financial reporting and the internal controls of the county.
Vicki Burke. Oh, John.
Yeah, you mentioned that fraud issue in your early remarks, and now you mentioned it in this letter that you submitted. And there was an article in the paper last week where some local funeral director was defrauding the poor people in the county and the state of Wisconsin to pay for his kids' college education. And when you're talking about fraud, are you talking about fraud on the part of county employees, or are you talking about fraud done to the county by people outside of the county?
Hey, I'm really talking about both of those because in your internal control systems, you want to have controls in place that identify where fraud could occur within the county. But a big part of your operation are Health and Human Services and the CMO, and those are places where fraud could occur sort of affecting you and in turn affecting the state and federal government. So it's really looking at the internal controls in both of those places. Part of the whole focus on internal control in today's environment came from the Sarbanes-Oxley Act and from the Enron and WorldCom scandals. And in those frauds, there was certainly fraud by management within the organizations, but there was also what I'll call audit failures, where the auditors really weren't doing their job in being independent of management and reporting on internal control matters. And so what you're seeing in today's environment is a much stronger focus on the part of the auditors to focus on internal control and fraud risks.
Yeah, well, I think that would be an interesting discussion to have sometime in the future.
One of the things in the interview that I was asked was, you know, to what extent does our executive committee get involved in some of these kinds of things? And my answer was pretty much not much. Do you have some specific things that you're saying in report? We need to be doing these things here, now, on a regular basis, whatever the case may be?
Well, you know, there really are many things that you already do on an ongoing basis, and you just really aren't aware that some of those things are part of the internal control system. There are many things that management does on an ongoing basis. But I think that part I agree,
but the question was, to what extent does our executive committee track those things, and we really have not.
Yeah, you really haven't, and I think that what we're suggesting is that as part of a regular agenda item, there just be a discussion about whether there are any instances of fraud that management is aware of, what are the key internal control systems that are in place. You know, perhaps if you were including it on a regular monthly agenda, you might look at the major systems of the county one at a time, cash disbursements, payroll, cash receipts.
Gary, I take it your department knows what they were referring to, and you and Steve will get us going in that regard?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Ray Ebert.
Yes, ma'am. How many years has your firm been doing the audit?
I think about 15.
Okay. Is there any advantage of switching? I would think, you know, that some audit, you know, companies look at things, and obviously you're not the good one to ask, so I'll withdraw that, and we'll talk about it when you're not up there.
I might add, if I could, excuse me, Renee, even though they have been our auditors for several years, we do go out every 3-4 years or so with an RFP. So we make sure that it's there's a competitive response, so to speak.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I just know that sometimes it gets, I'm going to use the word comfortable, when you've been working with someone for so long, and sometimes that's not particularly good.
And another thing I might add, I guess, although I respect what Mr. Ebert said, one thing that I do want to point out is there have been several staff changes by Clifton Gunderson in that period of time. Like Renee, for example, you've been the partner in charge 3 years, is it?
Three.
Yeah, and prior to that, it was a different partner, and prior to that, it was a different partner. Deb Welch has not always been the manager in charge. There's been other managers in charge, and of course, they even have lower level staff changes by attrition and so forth.
Yeah, we think it's really important that when you're looking at audit services, that you look at the quality of the firm, that you look at the independence from management, and part of what we do is to make sure that we have sort of that systematic rotation of personnel, so that even though we may be your auditors over an extended period of time as Clifton Gunderson, we do have fresh sets of eyes taking a look at your systems of internal control.
Thank you, ma'am.
Vicki, you had your hand up before. Was that just a point to John? Okay, that's what I thought. But I didn't want you to think that I ignored you. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I ask a question about page 2 of the handout? In the Human Services Fund, the revenues over under expenditures, the $846,000, you indicated, Renee, that that was mostly planned or budgeted. But then down below in the non-major funds, the $441,000, you didn't make any reference to that. Were those mostly budgeted also or unbudgeted items?
I believe they were mostly budgeted, but I would have to take a look at the individual funds. I don't remember entirely.
Thank you.
We can get that information for you.
Well, I'm sure it's somewhere in the larger document.
I just
noticed that you specifically noted that in Human Services it was mostly budgeted. Thank you.
Joe Veenstra.
I had a question on page 2 of the letter to us referencing the deficiencies in areas we thought we could have improvement in. And the question I have is with regard to what you denoted as a significant deficiency in internal control. And my question is maybe more for management than you, but when you say that you need more timely reconciliations, do you mean quarterly, on a regular basis, monthly, or what does that mean? Because the response was that we'll give some consideration to establishing a process, but I'd rather just establish the process.
What we're really suggesting is that you look at all of the reconciliations that are done at year end and determine if some of them can be done on a monthly basis, some of them done on a quarterly basis, or some of them done, if they still are going to be only annual reconciliations, that you move it maybe to November 30th and then do a reasonable of the balance look at December 31st to move some of that workload of the department into a different part of the year. It's not that accounts aren't being reconciled. It's that all of that work comes in such a condensed time period that what you're lacking then as a result is the ability to finish the reconciliations, take a step back, and look at the process overall. Because before the reconciliations are all done, we're in here asking the staff questions, and they don't have that opportunity to kind of take that step back and do an overall review. And so moving some of that work out of the year-end time frame will improve the staff's ability to have the reconciliations done sooner, so they have the time to do that sort of an overall financial analysis before the audit starts.
And you call what the way we did it last year, whenever you did this audit, you know, in December or whatever, a significant deficiency just because you didn't like the way the timing was, or did it create errors, or why was it significant as opposed to just takes too much time?
The reason that it's really identified as a significant deficiency, the audit standards are pretty specific in how we have to define things that we find. So things could be either a material weakness, a significant deficiency, or an other matter. And generally, if as a result of our procedures we identify audit adjustments, then we're kind of pushed into the category of significant deficiency. And then we evaluate the level of materiality of those audit adjustments to determine if we call it material weakness.
Would you suggest perhaps for a couple of departments, would it be okay to change this from significant to perhaps an other matter in the next year if a couple of departments were able to do the reconciliation a month early as opposed to every single department, or, you know, have a giant countywide November 30th idea?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, if 25% of the work could be shifted away from the year end, that would probably eliminate this comment altogether.
Thank you.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Following up on the management letter, the management response in... When you print the management response here, are you generally saying that, okay, it's acceptable, or has there been a continuing discussion about it? The one in particular that jumps out at me is the one in relation to the Human Services Department, which basically said, yeah, we agree with you, but we're not going to do anything.
Well, there's ongoing discussion about how to come into compliance with respect to the Human Services Department. It's a big issue in determining whether to put those receivables on the books, how to do it, and what sort of reconciliation process to have as a result. So when we put those management responses in there, we're having ongoing discussions with your staff about how to improve the processes and the controls and to make sure that we aren't doing something just for the sake of doing it. We want to make sure that if we're going to put information into the financial reporting system, that we're creating value and not just adding work.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Mr. Bina.
I had one going back to my concern, and we're going to be talking about it later, I understand, in the budget. You did say on page 2 with the total general funds that our old landfill is now gone, and the money that we put into the old landfill for the DNR's required us to do was at $3.8 million. Are we getting all that back? Are we getting it back over a period of time? What is the status of that money?
You're still going to be required to hold $1 million in restricted assets in that fund, and then the other $2 million will become available. And really what you've done, and I think Steve's going to talk about this a little bit more relative to the budget, but you've really been able to replace that $2 million with a line of credit to free up the cash for other purposes.
So are we ever going to get all of that money back at some point in time or not? Because the potential for pollution is still there from that old landfill. Are we ever going to get it back?
The other million?
Yeah.
I think you're going to hold that for a long time.
I can't
predict how long.
That's what I was afraid of, because they say it was moving toward the river years ago already. And okay.
Jim Burns?
Thank you, Steve. I think I found the answer to my question. In the management's letter, my question was referring to the issues that came up in the 2006 audit, and they are found on page 2, it looks like, where it says other matters. So all the issues that we had last year were addressed again?
Not all of them. The ones that are repeated in here from 2006 are the ones that still have an ongoing issue related to them. There were some other things in last year's management letter that were addressed and have been appropriately resolved.
Okay, so if it's not in the letter, then it's been resolved.
Correct.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Anybody else? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, Steve's going to talk about the budget.
You have some handouts in your evening's packet that will give you some more background, as well as, of course, a PowerPoint presentation. I want to make one small apology. Yeah, that's actually Steve's. It's on the desktop. So if you minimize that dialog box and then go to the desktop. There you go. And it's, there we go. Yeah, we've got some handouts. By the way, you'll notice that many of my slides, well, I first of all want to apologize. I'm not going to be able to be at the County Board picnic next week. Many of you know that you and have been kind enough to support my ride for Habitat for Humanity for my 11th year in a row, and so I'll be gone all next week pedaling, raising money for Habitat for Humanity. So you'll end up getting an update when I finish all the fundraising for that. So, again, I appreciate being able to do that each year. But I am going to miss the County Board picnic, so I'm sorry about that. Pardon?
What river is that?
That's Lake Onalaska, can't you tell? It's not Lake Neshonnock, it's too wide.
That was Cass Street this afternoon about 5 o'clock.
Actually, I tried to improve my slides because there's at least one supervisor who's been complaining that my slides are too dang boring. They're all black and white on... You know, so anyway, I thought that by having a nice, tranquil background as we start to talk about budget, probably the earliest budget presentation I've ever made for this board, as we start on the sixth budget that I've worked with you on, I thought this would put you in a nice, calm mood. Now, I could be wrong, Mr. Ebert, but there are people that... Oh, yeah, as long as we're not drowning. Anyway, the attempt tonight is not for any kind of decision-making, obviously. This is the earliest I've provided you an overall view. Finance staff and I have been working on this for about 10 to 12 weeks, trying to provide a parameter, because obviously you know that there's some disconnect between the county's financial position and our ability to levy taxes, and of course the ongoing lack of growth in state and federal revenues for mandated services. So I want to give you an overview of our challenges, our opportunities, what I think some of the solutions are going to be, and even before all of the departments submit their budget requests, that you've got an overall viewpoint of a two-year budget. This is a bit ambitious because most counties don't do a two-year budget. What I'm attempting to do is to give you the framework for this two-year term of your office, what we're able to do, what kind of framework we can work within, what you can project for those 2 years, and at the same time, as we go through this process over the next several months, the major decisions that will be involved, so that you've got a better handle, not just on a one-year basis, but on a two-year basis, where I think we're going and what the impact is of a levy limit and a continued inadequacy of state and federal revenues to pay for mandated services. These are 2009 challenges. That was supposed to be red. Every time I do this, it comes up kind of rust when I present it, but on my screen upstairs, it's very red. Challenges are in red ink. Good things are in green ink, right? Okay. At least Tara's appreciating this since she gave me so much. Okay. Obviously, our 2009 challenges start with that there's a 2% levy limit. We didn't know that, by the way, at the point that we adopted last year's budget because that was done within the final weeks of our budget. They didn't give us a great deal of prior indication in how they were planning that, but that's water over the dam. Costs continue to escalate much faster with no state or federal revenue for mandated services increases on the horizon. Number two, health insurance increases are averaging about 14% a year. So on an ongoing basis, our cost of just providing health insurance, whether we shift more costs to the employees, whether we provide a decrease in benefits, whether we do a high deductible plan, they continue to go up at that rate. And by the way, I remind you that we are self-insured, which is still the most cost-effective option that we have. We've looked at fully insured. We've looked at being part of the state system. Every year, we look at every single option. We're going to spend more time on this in August, along with our health insurance consultants, so you get a better idea of all of the range of options that we've looked at, but we've been averaging double digits every year for the last 6 years. Wage settlements, we have to match what the arbitration settlement is expected to be. Most counties that are comparables to us are settling for close to this percentage that we've established with Highway, which is the first union to settle for the 2009-2010 bargaining year, which is a 2-1 split. 2% January 1, 1% July 1, which is roughly a 2.5% cost, but it's a 3% lift. We've talked about that before in the last settlements, but one of the things that we've done since I've been here is try to have consistent settlements, try to understand what those settlements are and provide for that across the organization rather than have a lot of delay in making settlements, but actually doing the best we can to provide regional settlements within our comparable market. Number four, one of our biggest challenges, of course, is that there's a low rates on investment interest. If you'll recall from the 2008 budget discussion, one of the items that helped us out the most in controlling our property tax levy was the return on investment interest on reserves. One of the benefits of having a strong financial position is you're able to invest those reserves and actually have a significant increase on your investments. And, of course, obviously, anybody that's investing dollars right now in the fixed market, CDs, money markets, the limited low-risk types of investments that we can do and should do, you're not seeing a big in return on that. Number five, we should expect limited to no growth in sales tax revenue. The last several years we've been able to, obviously you know that you levy a 0.5% sales tax on all retail sales in the county. That growth has been able to help us control the property tax levy. I would expect to see little or no growth in 2009 in that amount of sales tax revenue. And in fact, we're going to have to revisit what the dollar amount is that we budget for that. Fortunately, we have a reserve that's related to that will help moderate that. But again, you're not going to be able to see an increase in that. Obviously, we've all seen and will see slowing tax base growth. Anybody that's reading the newspapers or watching what's happening nationally knows that market values on homes and new construction aren't growing as fast a rate. Obviously, we're not experiencing the same kind of slowdown that the East Coast and West Coast are experiencing, but we will end up seeing some impact. We're going to see some slowing growth in tax base. Already have seen slowing growth in new construction. Meanwhile, our capital improvement needs continue to expand. You know that in the report that we gave you last year, our highway needs, in addition to just staying up with maintenance, that Urban sprawl, growth out in our rural areas is putting increasing demand on our road system, and that's unreimbursed by developers or the folks that are building these subdivisions or living in these subdivisions. We are going to end up having a significant number of issues to debate about how we fund increasing road investments in our capital improvement plan, and of course Lakeview, as we continue to stay invested in being in that business at the Lakeview Healthcare Center. We're continually re-examining what the capital improvement needs of the building structure are. We talked with that about with the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee this morning and at their committee meeting, and we'll talk more about this as part of budget as we get you better and more firm numbers on what kinds of investments we need to put there. Also, one of the problems with CIP, of course, is that we're going to be issuing bonds for a new law enforcement center. You've made that decision. We're going through a bid process yet this fall. But one of the problems with issuing new bonds, of course, is you're still making payments on the first law enforcement center. So that's one of the challenges we have, as well as a highway shop that you're still paying off. Finally, there are several increased needs that we've identified so far. One of the preliminary items that we do under the budget process that I lead is to meet with the largest departments earliest, not meet with every single department, but identify the largest departments by levy and try to identify as early as possible what our major levy challenges are, because that helps myself and finance start to plan for where some of those things are. Again, these aren't firm proposals, but they are items of either inadequate revenues or increased expenditures that show us a long-term trend other than wages and benefits that are impacting the ability to control property tax levy. On the green side, there are several 2009 opportunities. Obviously, if you're noticing that while interest rates are not positive on investments, municipal bond rates are at some of the lowest that they've been for years. So we're actually in a very positive position when we go to the marketplace to sell our law enforcement center bonds. We also know that paying off 2005, pre-2005 debt or refinancing can be shifted to operating levy authority. One of the parts that is included in the levy limit law and requirements are that if you pay off pre-2005 debt or if you refinance, you're able to actually add to your operating levy limit. So that's one of the pieces that we're going to propose that we take advantage of. Third, in a couple of different ways, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Third, our health insurance fund and contingency for wages and benefits is in a better position than expected last fall. We'll end up providing you some information in August that we're actually, I'm knocking on wood when I say this, but this year we're seeing a slightly better than expected health insurance position, as well as over the years we've reserved a little bit in our health insurance fund and the general fund contingency for these kinds of purposes that we may be able to moderate how much we have to increase the health insurance premiums this year. Number four is a strong financial position. As the auditors just shared with you, we are in a very strong financial position due in part to interest revenue and sales tax gains in 2006-2007. Recall that Renee mentioned there were 55% of our general fund operating expenditures for 2008. So that puts us in a position that if we did need to use some fund balance in a very conservative and judicious way, that may help us in making some of the decisions we have to make. That will not be the first resort that we will rely on, but it does provide us some backup, as well as while we've spent some of Human Services fund balance for things like the DRI conversion, which is their data management system and some other things, we still have a significantly healthy fund balance there that if we did need to make some decisions, you'd have some ability to fall back there. So again, that's a positive position to be in when government services become more and more required in an economic downturn, being able to make slow, deliberate, conservative decisions about changes in priorities needs to be the guiding word right now. Our financial position allows us to do that. Number five, one of the best things that we've accomplished through a team of people is that over the last several years we've established the Mississippi Valley Health Services Collaboration. This will end up saving levy costs for La Crosse County. We'll talk about some unique ways of managing that, how that will help us manage our capital improvement needs at Lakeview, how it will help us manage our levy needs and hopefully reduce some of our levy support, and also save our collaborators, our other counties, some of their dollars as well. We've spent some significant time, and probably the biggest thing that I'll end up recommending and want you to focus on and give us some feedback on towards the end of the presentation is that upon closer look, if we change the timing of when we issue the new law enforcement center debt, break it up into two issues, we can end up accelerating the payoff of existing debt, paying off the highway shop early, which will reduce the total amount of debt that we have without incurring the LEC debt until the majority of it until next year. And we'll talk about that as we get a little bit later. And finally, on this page of opportunities, is that relocating the old landfill waste, something that Supervisor Bina was talking about and we mentioned last month, is that it ends up reducing our liability. The old garbage is now buried in a new lined landfill that ends up protecting the environment long term and ends up having a net impact of saving for the general fund $2 million worth of cash and then covering that the existing liability on an ongoing basis for at least the next year or two with a letter of credit. Because it's eliminated by reburying the garbage, the previous liability, but it also, remember, that $2 million, which is the net after making all payments, is cash that was paid for by the general fund levy, not by solid waste. Taxpayers in La Crosse County were taxed to make that payment. That $2 million is general fund. I will make a proposal tonight for what I think you should use that for, but again, it's a policy decision of the county board. It is general fund proceeds. It is not solid waste landfill proceeds from user fees. Obviously, the goal is to preserve options, be flexible, and provide a multi-year impact, which is why I want to end up revisiting two slides that I provided to you last year, which talked about one of the challenges that we have in dealing with debt service. One of the challenges we have in dealing with your budget is that you're still making payments on the law enforcement center that you built in 1997 or occupied in 97 while you're having to deal with the issue of new debt. And if you see the graph, what the graph illustrates is the debt payments overall that are still in the general fund for debt service, including the law enforcement center and your highway shop, that declines down to zero at the end of 2015. Ideally, you wouldn't want to be having to build another law enforcement center while you're still making payments on the first one. But what it did allow us to do is, if you recall this graph as well, is that by setting an internal goal and by ordinance a 52-cent limit on the rate that you would pay for debt service out of your tax rate, that it, as value grows, because there will still be value growth, even though it will slow, there will still be value growth that will generate additional money, that you have to fit in your debt service in those purple amounts over and above existing debt. Now, there's some nuances of this that will actually get better, but it re-illustrates the point that if you set a goal, you set a cap of your own at debt service at 52 cents, it allows you to have more flexibility and to control your long-term debt issues. So our initial budget recommendations for 2009. Again, these are subject to refinement and more details, but it'll give you an overall framework and direction that we expect this budget to go. Number one is we'll continue to look for program and budget cuts with no new positions without outside revenue. Now, that's not an absolute. We may end up through the budget process need to discuss with you other options, but again, as you'll notice as I get into this further, that there are very, very few operating levy options for additional revenue for new positions. So without new revenue, it's going to be near impossible for us to include those, particularly when I remind you we need to start adding levy in the next couple of years for operating at the new jail. See, one of the things that the statutes allow us to do is to issue debt for new law enforcement center, but not to fund the operations. In their unique wisdom, we have the ability to sell debt, but we don't have the ability to staff it. That's a sarcastic comment. Anyway, I always have to explain my jokes. It's horrible. I'm used to it. The second option is that I'm asking that we split the new law enforcement center bond issue and change the timing of the payments, and I'll go into that in a little bit more detail on the handout that I've given you. I will also ask that instead of using the 2008 budgeted payment, the $1,225,000 that was originally budgeted in 2008 to make a payment on the new law enforcement center debt, that we use that to pay off the highway shop 3 years early. That reduces our overall debt. It means that we don't end up incurring any more interest on the law enforcement center any sooner than we need to, and it ends up actually conservatively reducing the amount of principal that we own quicker, and then ends up spreading the payments out longer. But we, if you've noticed, we haven't started breaking ground yet for the law enforcement center. So let's not incur any more interest on that than we need to. Number four is to delay the highway capital improvement increase in 2010, but spend the same dollar amount. And again, I'll talk about that as I get to the handout. So in other words, stay at the $2 million level and fund it, as I'll suggest in a slide, from the savings on the highway shop, the $600,000 of levy that we're already dividing, and one half of each of the 2 years of the $2 million old landfill money towards capital improvements in the road system. And spend the next 2 years as a policymaking body debating and analyzing the priorities of those $20 million worth of road needs that have been identified. Perhaps you agree with all of those priorities. Perhaps you adjust them. Perhaps you change them. But you're going to need to deal with some long-term issues about other ways of funding road improvement projects than just these next 2 years. But this gets you enough breathing room to evaluate that entire road list. Number five is use the old landfill for highway capital, as I just mentioned. Number six is to refinance the 1998 law enforcement center debt, but not stretch it out for a longer term. You have about 6 years left on one half of the law enforcement center debt. Again, I'm going to go back through this because it's actually in your handout. But if you use it for the same six-year term that's there, you'll save about $400,000 worth of interest over that period of time. Remember, I talked about how attractive municipal bond rates are right now. If we go ahead and refinance that, that will help save you in two ways. One is it helps you on the operating levy because of the rules of the state and being able to move that to your operating levy. Secondly, it also saves you interest on a very real dollar amount because you'll pay less interest than you were paying before. Number seven is to lower the health insurance percentage increase. Instead of going with a 15% increase, which is our initial look, get down to the 9 to 10% range and use some of the health insurance contingency and some of the savings that we've had over the last couple of years to moderate the impact on the county and employees. Again, this will be a policy decision that you'll make as part of budget. You'll hear more about that particular item in your August policy planning. Obviously, number eight, we'll continue to look for where appropriate fees and charges can help recover full costs. And finally, and last but not least, is targeted use of reserves if necessary. If you go to your handout, because again, this may seem rather complicated, but I'm telling you things and then I'm repeating them a little bit because remember, this took us almost 10 weeks to work through. We've looked at many options that we've ruled out that didn't make sense. We've brought these together in what I think is the most coherent means of identifying how this would happen step by step. So the first part and the top part of this page is your overall general fund. This is included in your agenda packet that you received for tonight, and it's not a slide that's actually in your PowerPoint because it would get too small to read. So the first item is that remember that you approved issuing $29.5 million of general obligation debt for building the law enforcement center. You have not actually issued the bonds. That's a process that you go through a sale process with Springstead, who's our financial advisor. What I'm recommending is that rather than issue all 29.5 this year, that we change, we issue only 9.85 or just below 10 million and issue the other amount later on. What that has the advantage to do, and I'll get back to when we issue the second part, is that it's called bank qualified. What that means is that if you stay under $10 million, the financial markets say that it has less risk, which means that it's called bank qualified. That ends up giving the bond investors that end up buying the bonds a little bit more assurance that you're being less risky in issuing debt, and they tend to give you a better rate and end up being more attractive in the marketplace if you can keep your bond issues below $10 million per year. That doesn't include refinancing. So if we do the $10 million, it will end up saving us at least $10,000 a year in interest. Quite frankly, that usually saves more. Something's happening in the marketplace that there's not as many municipal issues as I understand it, but sometimes bank qualified saves you more. We won't know the final number until we issue it, but number one, it while it saves you and gets more attractive bond issues, number two, it also will not incur as much interest as a larger bond issue. So right at face value, it's already saving you interest by delaying when you issue the rest of it. However, you can't delay the whole thing till next year, because as we break ground this year, we start making progress. You can't just fund that from the general fund, because remember, we make money off of investing the general fund reserves that we're counting on some level of that interest, so we couldn't just rely on that. We looked at it both ways quite in some detail. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a couple of questions.
Thanks, Steve. Wouldn't we do this anyway? I mean, we're not going to spend $29.5 million in 2008-09 for the jail.
Right.
So wouldn't we do this anyway? I guess I'm not quite sure what the... Isn't this past practice, like with bonding for the solid waste projects? We only bond what we need at the time, correct?
We evaluate all options at that time. If any number of circumstances had changed, we might have in let's say interest rates were higher on reserves. Mm-hmm. Let's say bond rates were as low as they are right now, but we could make more interest on investing that. If we could invest that 29.5 and get more for it than we are paying in interest, which might have been we'd have to look back last fall, but that might have been the circumstances last fall, we might have issued all of that, and that interest gain on the 29.5 might help you with a potential cost overrun in your new law enforcement center. You have to make decisions given the exact circumstances that are in front of you. They may change in 6 months, or with a rearview mirror, they might have changed prior to that. So, no, you would never issue more debt than you needed, absolutely. But knowing that we're going to invest $29.5 million in a new law enforcement center, you have to make a business decision at that time about how much to issue. Do you split it into two issues? Do you do it all at once? And what's the cost-benefit ratio? Right now, if we had that full 29.5 and invested that, we'd probably be getting 2-3% and paying 4% on it. So it wouldn't make sense. So
what you're saying is $9.8 million is going to get us through 2008.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
The question I have is, can you split the building in half and make it justified for the bond buyers? How do you say we're going to build half of it this year and half of it next year and then have two loans?
This isn't saying we're building half of it this year. We're building it all, assuming your approval and the bids come in.
Yeah, right.
But how we finance it is our decision.
Okay, so you can do that strictly with financing,
sure,
without telling them it's next number of square feet and this is the part of the building
it's an unrelated issue.
Okay, all right. Good enough then.
Dan Meyer.
Do you have handouts?
In your agenda packet.
Yeah, we have that, but you keep referring to your...
Dan.
Yeah.
Came with your
I got that. Okay.
If everybody looks, this slide is exactly the top of that box, and the first row floats in each time that I ask them. And I'm just about to go to the second part of the page.
Okay. I can give you mine. We have PowerPoints, but the PowerPoint would have been too small on this. Okay, yeah, the PowerPoint is actually just two pages duplexed, and my hope was by sending this out sooner rather than later. Again, there aren't decisions tonight, so we'll have plenty of time to review this another time as we come back through decisions. So,
thank you.
Okay. The second item, if I can keep going, is that in 2007, at the projected year end 2007, we owed about $1,450,000, and with the payments that will be made on the highway shop this year that'll be lowered to about $1.1 million, a little bit over $1.1 million. So our proposal to you is going to be to take the $1,225,000, which was the budgeted debt service for the new law enforcement center. We budgeted in 08 to issue $29.5 million of new debt and to make a first payment on the law enforcement center this year. Upon further review with all the factors that we talked about and everything that's changed, we're suggesting that instead you take that $1,225,000 and pay off the highway shop early. By only borrowing under $10 million for the law enforcement center, you won't need to make a payment on that this year. So let's take that opportunity to lower the amount of debt we owe, pay off the highway shop 3 years early, and save about $88,000 worth of interest. Again, then we'll have to budget in 2009 and 2010 for the law enforcement center debt, but we'll end up figuring that out as part of the 2009 budget. At the end of 2007, the 1998 old landfill still had $800,000 worth of principal due. By replacing that with a letter of credit, which you did in December for December of 2007 for 2008, the annual bond payments are now covered by the released escrow funds, which leaves you $2 million of unrestricted cash balance. I've talked about that a couple of times. That saves about $140,000 per year of general fund levy that you're no longer levying against the taxpayers to make that payment, and gives you that $2 million cash that I'm going to propose that you use for highways. There were two separate bond issues also made earlier for the original law enforcement center. Maybe that's what Jim was referring to, and that one of the refinancing was in 1998. You can't refinance every couple years. You'd be playing the market, and bondholders aren't going to do that. But at a 10-year interval, you're able to refinance based on the terms of these bonds, as we've explored with Springstead. So the 1998A and 1998B law enforcement center debt, primarily of just over $7.1 million, was the principal that was due at the end of 2007. You've been making regular payments. You'll have other payments made both in April that were just made and in October. The balance of that is about $6.1 million at the end of 2008. Refinancing that, again, for only the 6 years that the remaining principal is due on it, will save almost $400,000 in interest, or about $65,000 a year on average. So it's a good move to make. It also helps us out with our operating levy limit and ends up accelerating more quickly how fast you're able to pay off the law enforcement center debt, the original law enforcement center debt. Last but not least, of your general obligation debt, not solid waste, not business fund, not other debt, but the last amount of your law enforcement center debt that is general obligation, you do not have the option of refinancing. That $5.7 million, by just making payments, will continue to go down. We're not restructuring that. That cannot be refinanced till 2011. So in essence, I'm sorry.
That third piece was in 2001?
Was the refinancing on it. When you originally issued the debt, I don't know, I wasn't here at the time, so I don't know what the dynamics were about refinancing that. But again, what maybe Jim's point earlier was, this is our job as your financial advisors and professional staff to continually look at the market, look at your current situation, and to make sure that you're making the best decisions. And given a different set of circumstances, we'd have a different set of recommendations here. But given the current market, given the current rates, given the current investment environment, these are the best decisions we can make that ends up saving you substantial principal and interest.
So the 2001, that $5.765 million, was refinanced from the original issue on the new law enforcement center?
That's correct.
So just a few years down the road from when we...
The original issue on the law enforcement center, I think we're in 94, 95, or 95, 96.
Okay. Thank you.
And there must have been some provision that allowed you to refinance that earlier than the 10 years that I talked about in these two issues. But Springstead has said that both 1998 and the 2001, neither one of them can be refinanced any earlier than the 10 years. The 98, obviously, were in that window. The 2001 were not. I told you this was going to be complicated, so it's... So finally, just in summary on your general obligation debt, the decisions that you had made and given us authority to work from as of the final quarter of 2007 had us in a position of being about $44.6 million in general obligation principal debt. With making payments and doing the restructuring that I'm talking about, as of the end of 2009, we would only be in about $21.4 million of principal indebtedness. And then during the first quarter of next year, I would recommend that we issue the balance of the $29.5 million, or $19.6 million. They add up exactly to $29.5 million, so that your estimated outstanding principal before you start making payments in 2008, which is scheduled for '09, you make your payments in April and October, is just over $41 million. So the summary is that by making some sound decisions, refinancing some things that you have some opportunity to get better interest rates, paying off some debt early, and delaying the law enforcement center debt issue into two calendar years, you end up actually being less in debt than you were before, paying less interest than you would have under our original plan for 2008, and making the best decisions that we believe you can make given the budget situation that you're in. Any other questions on that at this point? Again, these aren't for decisions, but I just want to have you understand some of the level of detail of some of what we'll be bringing you in the future. The other piece that that I felt it was important to keep bringing to you is, as we've talked about the use of debt, I think in previous years, I think there's been some concern that some of our budgetary decisions may rely on debt too easily. And I think what I tried to illustrate is that many times it doesn't make sense to issue debt, that it makes sense to actually pay some off, to manage what your interest rates are, and to make some clear decisions on that. Sometimes it makes sense to issue debt for highways, and I think in the future you will end up talking about that again. We don't need to do that this year, but I think you're going to end up needing to talk about the use of debt for infrastructure. I also wanted to point out that all of your other debt service, which is backed by your general obligation debt but not paid for with levy, is primarily in solid waste, business fund, and other debt. And I just wanted to point out that as of the 2007 year end, we were expecting to issue an additional $8 million, or to be almost $35 million in indebtedness for solid waste. And you'll recall from the presentation that was made last month that upon closer reflection, looking at how the bids came in, the construction costs, and your current cash position and asset position in solid waste, that we made the recommendation not to issue additional debt. Yeah, even though it would have been easy because you've got a revenue stream there that's not levy, we didn't think that would be prudent to issue that additional debt. You also should see then that your business fund is operating as expected, making the payments that are there, as well as the other debt that we talked about, paying off the old landfill, and of course the pension liability that continues. We relooked at whether or not that made any sense to refinance. That rate is a taxable issue, so you wouldn't get any better rates than what we are currently budget. So on one page, you've got your entire debt picture, both what we're projecting for 2007 at year end for the 2008 budget year, and what we're projecting to make changes in this current year towards the 2009 budget. The next item, disregard this slide because I'm going to get back to that. Let me continue with the handouts because I didn't put this into a slide. Some of you remember during budget that I talked about and analyzed, even during the comprehensive plan discussion, about the unmet highway needs. Over on the left-hand side, you see that the past year, 10 years average recondition and resurfacing, because you don't do a lot of building new roads in La Crosse County. Mainly what you've done is kept up very well the existing road system. You haven't responded in your long-term planning until we started studying the needs of your capital improvement plan, building new roads, new turn lanes, new intersection improvements. But the point of the top chart is to point out that your average expenditures have been about $1.7 million per year just to keep up with road maintenance. recognize that over that same period of time, inflation has been about 27%, just at the 3-4% range. What that means is, not including the increased cost of asphalt and oil that everybody's seen happen just over the last 12 months, you need to be able to keep up with a higher cost of just resurfacing and reconstruction. You'll notice that if you look at your CIP, we projected that in 2010 we would start to fund the new projects. I've suggested that with a 2% levy limit and the other restrictions that we have, that we would not be able to sustain that without cutting other major parts of your county operations. So I'm recommending, at least initially and as part of the overall budget, that we take 1 year breather with expanding projects, that we fund $2 million worth of road projects, so at least we're meeting the inflationary needs of doing road construction, maintenance, and resurfacing, and fund that through a highway direct levy of CIP, for CIP, which is already in their existing base levy, transfer the $400,000, which was the annual payment through this year for the highway shop, over for highway needs, and to use one half in each of the 2009 and 2010 from the old landfill proceeds towards building highways, so that we can at least keep up with the resurfacing and reconstruction needs of our current highway system, and to spend more time evaluating the priorities of the enhanced needs because of increased development out in the rural areas. Any questions about that at this point? So what that ends up doing with all of the changes that we made in debt service and all of the changes that we're recommending, you'll recall that we established the 52 cents in your ordinance last year based on the past 8-year average of debt service, the amount of your debt rate devoted to debt service. Under this projection that we've done so far, the 52 cents in 2008 actually dropped to 48 cents because we were only going to make a small payment. Under the projections that we've done so far in the first year, 2009, it would drop to 37 cents. It would go back up slightly in the next year to 48 cents, and then it would still be level off because, remember, you're going to continue to pay off the existing law enforcement center even with the refinancing. What this allows you to do then is, over the next 2 years, is to evaluate everything from your campus plan needs, your road needs, and whether or not 52 cents is still a realistic number to stay within. Remember, under existing law, you can go higher than that. 78 cents, I think, is the dollar amount that's there. We'll give you more information. But for the 2009 budget, you won't need to make that decision. If you take our recommendations on refinancing, paying off new debt, it will give you some breathing room as you're evaluating the necessity of road needs that are out there versus the necessity of campus needs here, and allows us to get into and complete over the next 2 years the law enforcement center project. The last item that I'll go through, and again, I apologize that this is long, but it's rather detailed, and I think it's important that this early in the budget process that you as the policymakers get as much information as you can about the most significant decisions that we'll ask you to make, as well as what context these individual budgets will come back in and what we need to get your guidance on. So on the last page of the handout is a two-year, very preliminary plan or projections in June of 2008 for 2009 and 2010. At the top of the page, of course, is just this section, revenue sources and expenses or needs compared for both years. You're capped at a levy limit of 2%, which we estimate will generate a little bit over $500,000 for 2009. You will gain operating levy authority by refunding the 1998 A and B of $1,186,000. You will also gain from paying off the highway shop 3 years early, which will give you almost $400,000 of new levy authority to transfer over for highway purposes. And we're recommending that we'll target about $100,000 of increased fees and charges. We continually manage that. You know that we've given you more information globally for the whole county of how you set fees and charges, so we're targeting a dollar amount of increased revenue there. Generates about an additional $2.1 million, almost $2.2 million, while your expense or needs to have a balanced budget include a rough increase of 2.5% on wages, of $770,000. If we're able to meet that expected target of health insurance of about 10%, that would be almost $900,000. Other fringes, which are FICA, Wisconsin retirement, the other things that are commonly called roll-up on wages. Jailers, we need to actually start to hire and start to train new jailers. Remember that in the budget discussion for the new jail, we talked about that we needed six new jailers. We added one in the 2008 budget to the existing staff. We'll add the additional five to get that full one additional position. We'll ask in the budget to start them sometime in 2009. To actually start the hiring process. This isn't set in stone. Again, it's a projection based on starting them in the final quarter. They need to get up and hired, trained, but you won't have the full year's cost. In 2010, obviously, you'll have the balance of that cost. So far, we've identified a number of additional costs other than wages and benefits that are also putting pressure on the expenditure side. With some child support issues, with court-appointed attorneys, and a decrease in court revenues. In justice sanctions, we have an issue where, obviously, we had a three-year OWI grant that has now run out that now has to be supported entirely from levy, some other issues there. We get indirect revenue from providing services to the care management organization. They will no longer be a part of our operation, so there will be some cut back there. Jail revenue is down. One of the things that's been positive is that obviously probation and parole is cooperating with us on keeping some of their clients out of the jail any sooner. But guess what? You also don't get paid the inadequate amount that the state pays for housing their clients. Lakeview levy reduction, I'm hoping that the success of the Mississippi Valley Health Services is able to help us reduce some of their levy reliance. The reason I don't show a lot more there is that we also have to fund our capital improvement plan at Lakeview and also deal with the increased costs of operations there. So we'll end up coming back with more details on that in the future, as well as I think we have a significant policy issue that we'll need to discuss with the Health and Human Services Board and the full board on the provision of home health care, because historically most of our home health care has been provided to CMO clients. The CMO, as they go regional, are looking for and will probably have a different provider than us for those services, so we need to have some significant discussion about home health care provision and where we go with that into the future. In essence, and I can walk through all the details on 2010, but I won't belabor that, but what I've done is, with finance's help, is to show you a way of balancing the budget within 2009 and 2010 that allows us to live within the parameters of what a levy limit of 2% restricts our choices. And if you go to the bottom line, then you'll see that the overall levy increase, if this was the final budget recommendation, and it is not, we're going to continue to work on this, that we would come in comparable to 2008 with a slightly higher levy increase of about 5.4 to 5.3% in each of those 2 years. A lot of it depends on all the detailed decisions that we will make within completing the individual budgets, how we structure the actual servicing of law enforcement center debt. We had a couple of pieces of good news. The Aging Long-Term Care Committee this morning learned that the state is actually recognizing some of the losses within both of our nursing homes. There will be some increase of several hundred thousand in revenue that we weren't expecting to our nursing homes. First piece of good news I've heard in a while So there will be some moderation of these numbers, but at least as a target, it gives us an idea that we can come in with a levy increase in each of these 2 years lower than the average for the previous 6 years. Included in your handout is one of the last bar graphs that I'll talk about, is the levy history, the percentage levy increase history from 2000 through estimated 2010. And if the best we were able to bring you was a 5.4 and a 5.3% for 2009 and 2010, those 2 years would be lower than the average increase of the last 7 years and lower than the average increase of the last 9 years. Now, again, this is gross levy. It's not what's moderated by increase in market value or increase in new construction. This is actual total levy increase each year, and this is your total history. So what this, I believe, will allow you to do, remember back to that tranquil thoughts, P peaceful thoughts about budget. His next steps and decisions is that the departments and administration will continue to do our budget work. July 18th is actually the deadline for most departments in submitting all of their detailed budgets to finance. Then, as you know, we spend about 5 to 6 weeks refining what the administrator's budget recommendation is. In August, you will end up receiving a lot more detail on other budget issues, but in particular health insurance, from your consultants as well as from administrative staff. In September and October, serious budget work will begin with the committees and the full board, including we will end up receiving the Law Enforcement Center bids and evaluating what our position is in regards to LEED, in regards to the current marketplace. I just learned today that steel prices are running about 15 to 20% over where they were at about 8 to 12 months ago. We already know what's happening to oil prices. That's in it. End up impacting all parameters of your marketplace as far as contractors' costs and those types of things. So we've got some significant challenges to meet. We'll just have to hope for a good market environment for bidding. We will end up, if you follow my recommendations, to sell the first new Law Enforcement Center bond of $9.8 million this fall and to refinance the 1998 LEC debt and to approve payoff of the highway shop debt. Last but not least, then, we'll identify the top 2009 budget decisions for you to make as we go through the entire budget, and obviously we'll respond to anything that you add to this list, as you always are able to do. And last but not least is I will recommend that we spend the remaining part of your two-year term doing a comprehensive policy and priority review of all levy priorities throughout the organization during the 2 years of the budget recommendation that I've given you, because you'll have some parameters to know you can preserve most existing services within the levy projection that we'll give you by the end of the 09 budget. We'll refine these numbers, and so you'll be in a position for the 2011 budget to know what will happen as the state and federal government continue to wrestle with their significant budget problems, both a structural deficit at the state level and significant budget problems at the federal level that have to impact our ability to finance existing systems, what our priorities will be. That will allow us to have some breathing room as a policy board to give some direction on where cuts would have to happen as the as we go forward.
Questions, comments for Steve? Don.
You've given us numbers for 2010. Are we going to be asked to vote on a 2 years budget, or this is just for our information?
This is for your information, but what I will do by the end of the 2009 budget is refine those and give you some targets for 2010 and ask for your reactions on those as well. By statute and by law, you only need to operate, you only set a levy for 1 year. Mm-hmm. You only make a decision for one budget cycle, but I think it would be this has always been a goal of mine for many years as I've been responsible for local government budgets, is I've always said that making a one-year decision is like making it with blinders. You can't make one-year decisions. You're really making long-term decisions, which is why we've tried to improve the information we've given you in capital improvement, in debt management, in fees and charges. In every aspect, we try to give you both forward-looking as well as retroactive. Most of the summaries we've given you will give you 5 to 10 years worth of prior data as well. So if we use fund balance, it'd be very easy to do one-year decisions. We want to make sure you're looking at your history as well as your projection for several years out, and this is the first step to at least have you know what decisions you make today and what they'll at least impact you next year. Given the instability of federal and state funding, it would be difficult, very, very difficult to count on much more than a two-year budget.
That's what I was wondering. Thank you, Steve.
Brad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve, what are your plans to fund future highway needs? I got to be honest. This makes me nervous. In 2007, you used over $1.1 million in short-term borrowing. 2008, you used $1.35 million in excess sales tax reserve. By 2010, we're talking about a need of $3.6 million, and you're talking now about putting $2 million into something in 2010, it looks like, in which you're estimating we need $3.6 million of capital needs. What are the plans for the county on these long-term highway needs?
Long-term highway needs cannot, under a 2% levy limit, can't be funded by operating levy. That's a fact that we learned back in the 2007 budget. If you are going to fund highway needs from operating levy, you've got to slash through other major parts of your services. That's why we relied on short-term funding, and it was controversial in the year that we did it, but that debt was all paid off in that same year. This current budget year, we've used $1,350,000 because we had adequate reserves in sales tax revenue. You cannot fund operating from operating levy highway needs with a 2% levy limit and the kinds of levy limits that they've been put on. But in point to your exact question, how do you fund ongoing road needs? You either need to not have the amount of road demands out there by developers building in rural areas that don't end up paying for the impacts of the roads, something that we've heard from city supervisors and city government before, or, and the cat's already out of the bag in that for most of it, so you've got to deal with debt, a vehicle tax, a referendum, or cutting other parts of your budget to fund roads. Well, this budget here gives you, this budget recommendation gives you another 2 years to evaluate the needs of the road system beyond just existing maintenance, and gives you some breathing room to make some of those decisions.
Well, believe me, I do understand and I do respect the work you're doing here, because I know this is difficult. I also happen to represent an area that is one of those fast-growing areas that has real capital structural needs as far as in highways. And I guess, and I do think it's important that we as a county do have this conversation, and we do bring all these different individuals into the conversation, because, I mean, this is very serious, and I encourage you to continue to push forward in trying to move this conversation. A couple other quick questions. How much of our budget actually comes from the property tax levy? Did you have that in there?
It's $26.9 million is our current levy.
Okay, and that's
on this page here.
And that makes up what? How much of our does that make? What percentage does that make up of our budget?
It's a little over 10%, but remember, it's distorted because a large portion of your entire $200 million budget is CMO. In 2009, CMO is not going to be a part of it, so that projected at $28 million isn't going to make up a larger portion. So I'm not going to do that number off the top of my head. The point is, we give you that data and that percentage, but it's going to end up looking like, and for a fact, your levy is going to be a larger percentage of your 09 budget, because you're taking a subsidiary or CMO, and it's no longer going to be a part of your operation.
That's right. All right. Thank you.
Other questions or comments for Steve? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Okay. Again, I just want to conclude that if you have any questions that occur to you, it doesn't have to wait for a meeting. If you've got some concerns about this, the biggest issues that I want you to zero in on is that last slide on this page. If people have some problems with the issues, they're going to come back through executive committee as your budget committee. As we go through the issue of the LEC bids, issuing the LEC debt, refinancing the previous debt, approving the payoff, there will be actions coming through that committee. But if you're not on executive committee and you have concerns or questions, you've heard this. The executive committee has heard this twice now. Most of the other supervisors have only heard it once. Please talk to myself or go directly to Gary if you've got questions. These are significant issues, because if we're not going to use this plan, we're limited to only the $500,000. We don't have the ability to do these. These are two-year-only decisions. Again, the state and feds aren't stepping up to pay for what they've required us to provide. They're not providing us revenue to pay for these things, but this allows us to get some breathing room as you, as the policymakers, will set priorities. We're going to do the best to give you the best information. So, thanks.
All right, I'd like to take about a two-minute break so that Marion can switch over the computer. We're going to have Tara come up to take the chair so that I can do the next presentation. So I'll come back in about 2 minutes. 19.